you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think that this is a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Holy crap, holy everybody, it's Crab Diving Live, hurtling at ya from Los Angeles, California, here, Koreatown, bright, sunny, sometimes smelly, sometimes you can see the sparkle of the broken car windshields glistening on the streets at night. It's quite beautiful here in Koreatown, USA. We're going to be here for the next couple of hours live for your ear holes, everybody. Till 4 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, till 7 p.m. on the Eastern type coast, if you're listening to us live. If it ain't that time, you are possibly listening to a rerun of this Spun Gold. Or, you know what could be happening? You might have downloaded us as a podcast on crabdiving.com, on iTunes, on Stitcher, all over the fucking place. We're everywhere. Scratch our names on bathroom walls. Spread the crabs, everybody. Phone numbers, too. What the hell? My name is Patrick Vile, my co-poobah of the network here and co-host of the show, Ryan Pfeiffer. Maybe at this moment, hurtling through the air, I don't know if he has aborted his plane. I don't mean aborted. He has a space, a or a apostrophe boarded. You know what I'm talking about, Brent. Anyway, Brent, yes. Paris, we're very excited again. The Hollywood Hick sitting here listening to me ramble. On Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick from the Hollywood Hick podcast here on the Sevens, everybody, Tuesday and Friday, brand new sparkling episodes for you. Our dropout for the first time, and then the reruns run on the Sevens, and then the previous show, if you're listening to the Tuesday show at that point, the previous show, Friday show, stay up till midnight, pour yourself a cocktail, light yourself a fat one, crawl into the tub, and listen to the late night rerun of the Hollywood. Thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me, man. I love coming up in here. It's fun.
It's great having you here. As always, Kate is greeting you.
Yeah, Kate's over here. She's like letting me know everything's okay.
Kate's sniffing your crotch.
She's sniffing my crotch.
What's been happening?
I don't know.
What happened on the train? I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either.
Save it for your show.
I was looking at my phone like I always do, so I don't make eye contact with anybody because I don't want to make eye contact because there's too much crazy down there.
You were here a week ago. How has the Facebook page?
It's calmed the fuck down. It's back to normal. Like it's like a couple of comment here and there, other things.
Oh, it's crazy.
But I haven't made any boycott Indiana hashtags yet either. So that also like has to do with it. And I don't know why I got singled out. Or I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. But it just still cracks me up that like so much vitriol was thrown in my direction simply because I said, "Hey, what would Dolly do about those Indiana pizza people?"
Yeah, that was, I guess you pissed off some...
Yeah, and I had never knew so many people, one, hated the homo so much, and two, there were that many people who were interested where I put my pecker.
Well, right, and feel strongly enough about it to post on your Facebook page.
To tell me how wrong and horrible I am, and that only because of Jesus have I not been able to... come to terms with my homo-ness. I don't get it.
With your homo-ness.
I don't understand.
But doesn't God create everything?
Well, apparently, according to these people, he creates everything, but not homos.
Oh, I see.
We are some sort of abomination. He created us to be straight, according to them. It's just that somewhere along the line, I just went, I would like my life to be slightly harder than it needs to be, and I chose to be a homo. That's what happened. I liked sparkles too much and rainbows as a kid, so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to suck dick from now on. I don't know. Like, according to them, there was at some point in time, there was a conscious shift that I made in my brain to be a homo, and that's just how it. And I'm just doing it to be mean.
You're doing it because you're angry at God.
Yeah. I don't understand. It's like I just.
They're just so obsessed with what's going on in other people's
and they basically, if you really kind of read them, but I've read it a couple of few times, some of them, because it just cracks me up so much. But there are a few of them who like tell you, like, if you just basically what they're Kate is like all up in my business, y'all. It's like an hysterical.
Kate's driving you crazy. Kate,
I know. I think it's because I dropped some like jambalaya in my crotch earlier, and she smells it.
What's going on with you?
And that's a true story. I was eating jambalaya earlier for lunch. And, you know, I was like reading or not paying attention, and so now I have jambalaya crotch, and apparently Kate is down with some jambalaya.
Apparently she likes that jambalaya.
That's hysterical.
So yeah, you were getting some hate.
I got all kind of hate, but if you read between the lines, they just basically want to corral us up and put us in like leper camps, and that's where we should be, because we should only be consorting with other homos. We should not be allowed to sort with anybody who's not a homo. According to them, they're like, just go with people who want to be like you. That's what they kept saying. Well, why don't you just stay with people who are like you? We're all people, you dumbass. It's another just one, a little bit different.
Another one the other day who said that, you know, one of these ultra right wing nut jobs who said that anybody who's HIV positive should be quarantined.
And that makes sense, too, because that's the world that we live in. And also, and it's also the people in like. Like, I forget where it is. Was it Indiana, too, again, where, like, they shut down these Planned Parenthoods now HIV, like, spread like wildfire in the area? And they're all going, like, how come the HIV spread when they, like, took away people's means of, like, dealing with it?
Right.
It's like, it wasn't the babies.
They had a little epidemic in a little area, right?
In a little area. And, like, it was where they had closed down Planned Parenthood. And all it's like they went in and did the research. It's like, yeah, if Planned Parenthood would have been there, it would have probably not been quite so bad, y'all. Go figure.
Yeah, crazy. I don't understand it at all. The shit they do, again, we've said it a million times, it's never intended to be an atheist show or an anti-religion show, but goddamn, they're so up in politics now that
you can't talk about politics and not talk about it, because it's everywhere. It's so pervasive. It's just like they interject themselves in everything.
Right.
Or they do this untoward nonsense that gets everybody upset. And then they want to know why people are going like, hey, no, we don't like that. And we're going to let you know this time. They put those. I keep saying the Norm Moray sign. I put up my strike
Norm
sign.
Moray.
No, we've had enough. It's like, no mas. We're done. You can stick a fork in us. I think Indiana was a tipping point for that. People finally woke up a little bit.
Finally. And Arkansas, although...
Texas is fixing to try to do
exactly,
it right now.
If you go to facebook.com/crabdiving on our Facebook page, joining the conversation there, the occasional slugfest if you dust it up with some of our trolls. There's a story, I think we put it up yesterday, about that exact thing, is that, you know, it started out as hashtag boycott Indiana, then it was hashtag boycott... Well, first it was Boycott Arizona last year, remember?
Right. And then, but she was smart. What's her name?
Jan Brewer.
Jan Brewer. She was smart enough, at least. I mean, I don't like her, but at least that she did something right. I'll give her.
She could do math.
Yeah, she could do math. Exactly. It. And Texas has, like, it's a big hub for, like, what, American Airlines and Apple has a lot of stuff there. It's like, I'm curious to see how this whole Texas thing shakes out, because.
Well, and.
Arkansas was one thing, but Texas will be a different deal.
So they're planning that there now.
They got two
of them, two different ones. And then also Georgia is still sniffing around, although that one may be dead for now. And Mississippi. And oh, not Mississippi.
North Carolina was doing it for a bit, but they backed off, I think.
Louisiana. And Jindal, who just can't get his tongue up the asshole of the Christian right anymore these days. It's so gross.
How much he's
gone crazy. Remember, he was the guy a couple of years ago that said we can't be the party of stupid anymore?
Yeah.
And he's running around saying there's no-go zones.
Child for stupid.
Right. There's no-go zones for the Muslims in Birmingham
he's
or whatever.
Idiot. He is a mouth-breathing idiot. It sounds just like Kenneth off of 30 Rock. Ever since they made that comparison after he made that, like, what was it? He did the rebuttal or whatever after the president talked one time.
That's what sank him, right?
It, he's As soon as somebody said, because I listened to him and I was like, who does he sound like? I was trying to figure it out. It was like, and as soon as I saw it, that light went off over my head, and that's all I hear. Whenever I hear him talk, all I see is Kenneth, stupid, bumbling Kenneth off of 30 Rock.
That was kind of the beginning of the end for him, wasn't it? Like, he was the golden boy. They gave him the
yeah, that was like a big honor for him. Like, that was like his sort of like his debut of sorts.
And he fucked
and
it
he
up.
He fucking fucked yeah, it didn't right do well. Up.
He didn't go for the water like Rubio, who fucked yeah. it up that year.
What and did Rubio do? I don't even remember that.
Remember Rubio? Rubio did it one year, or one speech. He gave the rebuttal, and in the middle of it, he like leaned out of frame and grabbed a bottle of water and like went gulp, 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 and set it down, and then jumped back, like leaned back into the frame.
I don't think I ever saw that, but that's hysterical.
Yeah, it didn't go well for him either.
Sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. And I know that's hard to believe coming from somebody like me, but sometimes... Sometimes you just gotta keep like there's just I can't believe people when they just sometimes I just go, oh you just, if you had just kept your mouth shut you'd be in such less trouble.
Well, and that happens
never
so amazingly often. Well, that's true too. I didn't mean to. I accidentally pressed the gunshot yeah. button. That wasn't nobody here is going postal.
Keep your damn mouth shut or I yeah. won't shoot you.
Kate's going postal. I don't know. Kate's gone crazy, man. If she bothers
Kate has
you
gone
again,
crazy. I've been, go get on your chair, girl.
I've been holding.
She's right back.
Trying
no,
to.
No, she's good. Check her out. She's off to work now. She's gonna go do some filing and shit.
So we can see you. We went on a long walk too. I took her for a long ass walk to try to tire her. Kate, leave the poor man alone. We can see what's in the headlines, I guess.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studio, high atop the Crab Diving Tower, here in Los Angeles, California. Check and see what the headlines are here on the news site. You can check out the Commie Pinko Liberal Effete Huffington Post. And, in fact, speaking of the 2016... Wait, where's my drop? Here it is.
It's the 2016 Republican primary.
Already in the clown car, little Randy Paul and Ted Cruz.
Two real winners right off the bat.
So far, huh? Pretty close to diving in. Also, Jeb Bush is obviously... done the exploratory committee, and he's just it's a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time for him,
and he's got all the money already. And Marco Rubio, who we spoke of a moment ago, the television parched Marco Rubio, the headline on the Huffington Post says Florida frenemies. It leads to a New York Times piece that says expected presidential bid puts Marco Rubio at odds with a mentor, Jeb Bush. So I guess they were big buddies.
Oh, so now it's gonna like they gotta like they're scared they're gonna like split the like.
The well, vote they, or I mean, between them two. Yeah, they're both from Florida. It says as Marco Rubio debated whether to run for the United States Senate in 2010, he made a pledge steeped in loyalty and deference. This is writing at the New York Times. It's like
loyalty and
I know
deference.
It's like fucking Game of Thrones
what
shit.
The, I know that's yeah. It's like should have said like thou loyalty and deferent or something.
You're right. He knelt down upon the purple pillow, laid his sword out. He said he would never challenge his political mentor, Jeb Bush, if the former Florida governor wanted the job himself. Oh, so when in 2010, I guess when that Senate seat opened up, Jeb Bush, they thought, might have run.
Oh, so he said he wouldn't have run if Jeb had run.
And Rubio was like, I'll never run against you.
Cut to 5 years later.
Now there's a possibly...
Takes these backsies.
Right. So it says the head-on collision of Mr. Bush's... you said Bush. And Mr. Rubio's presidential aspirations, once viewed as an outlandish prospect in Florida, is now I mean, it says it's consuming the hometown with talk of unchecked ambition and political backstabbing.
Oh, my sweet
Jesus.
This
is great.
That's
good.
Great.
Kill each other.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, politically.
Take each other out.
Yeah. Take each other out politically.
Because the other two, I don't even know what they're people just like to waste their money, like the Ted Cruz's and Rand Paul.
Other
isn't that his name,
money.
Rand Paul, or is he the other Paul? Like, which Paul is he?
Rand.
Rand. He won't get off good. Savannah Guthrie off of the Today Show made him look like an idiot.
That's
already.
Awesome.
Like, that took all of 3 minutes. It's like, dude, right then you should have been like, you know what? I'm going to save my money.
Well, he made an ass out of himself because
he was trying to tell her what
he won't abide a woman.
He won't abide a woman.
Questions.
I would put every lady interviewer in front of him from now on.
And Megyn Kelly, I'll give her props. Did you see last night? It was all over the internet sphere that even liberals, the shit that I read, were giving props to Megyn Kelly for not letting him back off on it. She interviewed him, and she was
after the fact she did. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Last night, I think she interviewed him, and she went after him for it. And he was like, no, I'm testy. He's going after
I'm testy in the morning? Is that what he's trying to say?
With men, too. I don't like being asked dumb questions. And
it wasn't a dumb question.
Right, exactly.
That's the problem, asshole. It wasn't a dumb question. And then you said, okay, rephrase it a different way, and I'll answer it. And then she did that just to fucking appease your dumb ass. And then you still were an asshole.
Correct.
Like, no. It don't work that way. It took you 3 minutes to show everybody what a dick you are. You might as well save your money and everybody else's and just stop.
Exactly.
Just quit. It's like, quit. Take your ego, shove it up your ass.
But then, I mean, it really is a... For some of these guys, they know they're not going to get to be president.
But they're
raking up their national cred. Mm-hmm. And they're adding zeros onto
their
consulting money and to their speaking tour and the number of boards they're going to be sitting on when they get out of office. That's all it is. That's all this bullshit is. There's no way Marco fucking Rubio thinks he's going to be president of the goddamn United States. Give me a break.
That's a scary thought.
Ain't going to happen. Oh, I would take Rubio over Ted Cruz.
Oh, I would too. But it's still a scary thought.
Right. Oh, well, and all of them.
All
Bush,
of them.
Bush, you know.
I still want Elizabeth Warren to run, but she ain't gonna.
Yeah, that would be
I
really
love
nice.
Her so much. If I saw her walking in the street, I'd probably get in trouble for hugging her too hard.
We need her out there, though.
I know. We need her out there crusading. Yeah. I like how she's
actually,
not scared
Senate,
to open her
really,
mouth.
Really
I love how she's not afraid to put somebody in their damn place, too. She don't give her who you are. And she does it in the best way, because she's smart and she knows what she's talking about. People can't take her down.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come back at her with shit. She's like, whoa, dude. Uh-uh. What about, you can't say that. You said before you were saying this, now this. You can't have your cake and eat it too sort of stuff. I love it.
God, they hate her.
They hate her so much. If she walked in the room and all their sphincters just cinch up, you shove a lump of coal up there, you got a diamond in a week.
Pocahontas,
sort of
I hear all the time on the comments on our page. You know, that's their favorite go-to is that the one scandal they think they have on her is that she allegedly claimed partial Native American ancestry on some college loan application or something to try
to... Oh, for the love of...
And that she actually, I guess she is 1/16th Cherokee, or she qualifies, even if she hadn't or
right,
whatever.
Because you don't have to be a little bit Indian to qualify for a lot of that stuff.
And it's, it hasn't been... I don't think it was ever outwardly disproven or whatever, but they still, these guys, on our page.
Pocahontas.
All they've got to say
because they have nothing else to go about. That's all you got. It's like people who always claim offended. I don't know, if offended is your only argument, then you have no argument. It's just the way it's like, shut up.
A good thread to follow is the Dick Cheney one that, that just fucking evil Skeksis from hell.
He is evil. He is evil.
Yeah.
He's
out. He's got a book coming out, I guess. Who the fuck wants to read that tome of evil?
A bunch of fucking crazy people.
We're going to be have him foisted upon us for the next few months as he's getting his book ready to launch.
Oh.
And we did the story yesterday. He said Obama's the worst president we ever had, and said that Obama is also... trying to, I don't remember the exact words, basically trying to destroy America, but not, he said it in politician speak. He said, the stuff he does makes it look like he doesn't like America or he wants America to fail. You know what? The shit you do, fat ass motherfucker, makes it look like you want America to fail. Right. What are you talking about? You need to turn that finger around and point it at the source of the problem, you asshole. I hate these people. Oh. I hate that smug point of view. Like, I did all of this horrible shit, and I won't take 1 ounce of responsibility for it. None at all whatsoever. And these are the first people when they try to turn around and tell somebody that they got to take responsibility for something that happened. I don't get it. It's like it has been proven to anybody with a brain beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did a lot of untoward motherfucking nonsense while you were up in that vice president office. And right. You were basically pulling a lot of strings, and you're a really horrible, awful, evil person. It to anybody with a rational brain, I don't see how they can think that this dude is completely on the up and up. Ever.
Yeah. He's
ever. I can't. It's
Dick
just
Cheney does not.
But they don't care. It's just, it doesn't matter. It's that.
Well, on our Facebook, if you go to our Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, out there, by the way, Hollywood Hick, if you just join us, ladies and gentlemen.
Over here, Paris, ranting and a raving.
Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick. Listen to his show, 7 p.m., 7 a.m., and midnight here on the network streaming. And past episodes, go to crabdiving.com. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher. But on our Facebook, with that Dick Cheney story,
people 25,
30 comments, they hate him. God, they hate Dick Cheney. And there's one that you just got to see. Somebody photoshopped Dick Cheney, the top. Somebody got an extreme close-up of a penis head.
That's
and did
hysterical.
A really excellent. They spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
Merging the head of the penis with Dick Cheney's head.
Oh my God! Because he is like, and that's a very good head to make a dick out of. Too.
Right,
it really is.
So kudos.
Yeah, whoever did that,
whoever the genius is that was doing that stuff, just got a text from Ryan not that long ago, starting the land journey. So Ryan has landed.
He has landed. I wonder if he's aborted yet.
He may be joining us at some point during the show here, back from Alaska.
Alaska land.
Yeah. Crazy.
I've never been to Alaska. My old roommate was from Alaska.
Crazy.
I was seeing the pictures and stuff he posted on Facebook. Like, he was out in the fucking nowhere.
Yeah,
Alaska.
He took special shoes, and his other brother told him, like, you should get just pants. Just go buy some cheap jeans that you're willing to kiss goodbye to after a few days, because it really is just all mud. There's no pavement. It's
wet all the time.
Mud and snow. I mean, it looks beautiful.
I understand that logic, because when I used to, like, I had clothes to take.
That's a house. Ryan texted that. Yeah,
It's a railroad car.
It's a railroad car
with a plywood shack on the front.
Yeah. Turned into
and it's up
a
on
house.
Cinder blocks.
There you go.
On top of a bog of some sort.
That's a home.
And that's where somebody lives. I know.
Yeah.
How do you like that? I mean, they better have some sort of insulation inside of it. I hope they don't just have metal walls in the frigid Alaskan-ness.
He said that the cabin he was in is kind of crazy. You know, everything's like kind of hodgepodgey and like that.
I bet it was fun to go up there for a
together.
Week.
Yeah, yeah. But they got him good.
The bear print?
Wasn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah. I saw hilarious. Him. He posted that on the Facebook. His nephew and niece or somebody like that? So
his brother,
like,
yeah.
And then, like, it was a kid was one of them, too. They were grinning with the,
right.
with the bear paw. But he
fucked with
like
him. They put the prints down.
Yeah.
Yeah, as they were out walking, and convinced him that there were bears that had woken
up. Oh, you know,
up.
Ryan was about to shit himself.
Not happy at all. Not happy.
I would love to have seen that.
I
hope they made videotape of it.
I emailed his brother. I said, "You need to next time in Florida, you need to get a shark fin."
He hates
swimming.
The shark too.
Oh, yeah. He's not into. Well, nobody.
I don't.
Who
like
wants to get eaten by a shark?
You know, well, I used to scuba dive a lot, and I saw a couple of sharks. They didn't really freak me out.
I never.
The rule was to stay under them as long as they're above you, because they attack from below.
Oh, okay.
So I would always stay like low. And then I saw a shark one time, and I was like, oh my God, shark. And it was pretty big. And then I got over to it, and like another shark or something had, like, I was wondering why it wasn't moving much. And when I got on the other side, it was because like it's like something big had just took a chunk out of its like
shit
belly. Like it was just like one big
gobble bite was gone, and it was just sort of just like floating on the bottom, like kind of like great, not touching the bottom. So it still looked like it was moving. Me and my friend, we were diving. We're like shark. We're like, it's not moving.
It's a brutal place to see. Yeah.
I used to love scuba diving. It's just so damn expensive.
I just saw the, I was snorkeling in off Key West, and I saw barracuda. That's my...
Oh, I saw a barracuda in the Bahamas once. Yeah, they're scarier than sharks.
They're pretty fucking scary, and they're big, and they hover, and they smile at you.
They smiled. It smiled right at me. Right. Every one of them damn teeth. I went, I was like Jesus on the water. Like, I was like, I did not swim. I was like skimming the top. I was on the way back to that boat so fast. I was like, made the captain go run it off because he promised me he would. And he did. He knew what he was doing. I'll give him his props. He was an asshole besides that, but he did know how to run off a barracuda.
They told us, you know, take off earrings and necklaces.
Yeah, they don't like shiny.
Yeah.
They told us that too.
They do like shiny.
Well, I mean, yeah.
All right.
We will not like it if we wear shiny, I guess. There's a better way to put it. But yeah, they...
Also on our Facebook, before we, that was the headline, by the way, the Florida business over on the Huffington Post. Before we get to the Drudge Report, we were, also on our Facebook, there's a story of, there's two things, that one that I think you need to watch is a video of a guy who really kind of chronicles his friending Iranians on social media, like real people living in Tehran, people living in Iran. And it's a great video.
Just like having conversation.
It's basically like, you know, these are people, you know, don't blame the regime. Americans are taught that every Iranian over there is burning American flags and screaming death to America.
They're not, but that's
just
what
like
they
not
want
every
to
person
think.
Here in America
is a raging right wing lunatic.
Is screaming, kill all the Muslims, right? Or bomb Iran. That ain't happened either. And it's a really good video. You know, it's one of those kind of
I like when people put shit in perspective like that.
Feel goody kind of things. Yeah.
It's like, no. This it ain't people, all bad.
They're
it's
taking
like,
selfies. They're living their lives. They're having fun. Don't blame the regime, you know, totally.
Yeah. It's like, and if you want to point the finger at some fucked up shit going on in your country, you can just open your damn back door. Over here on this side of the pond.
Oh, there's, yeah.
Because there's all kind of untoward nonsense going on.
For example,
everywhere.
In South Carolina.
South Carolina, my people. Good Lord have mercy.
Carolina.
But you know, I will give them their props down there. Like, they recognized that there was shit going on. We can't argue this. There's no arguing this. They didn't try to, like, do nothing. The mayor was like, done.
Oh, you're talking about the shooting.
Yeah, that dude. The cop shot that dude point, like, in the back.
Right.
And he would, if there was not that video, he would have got away with
absolutely.
It too.
He already, I mean, if you listening to all the interviews,
but it's like, what else do they have to, it's like the guy's dead. They right. have this guy. It's like, what? It's like, I mean, it's like, I guess it's like any other criminal. That's what I was thinking to myself the other day about that whole thing. It's like any other criminal. It's like a criminal who goes out to kill somebody, like say it's a gang shooting or whatever. As mm-hmm. long as nobody's around, the only story to be told is yours. So it's just like, it's just scary to know that that mentality is up in the police department to the prevalence that it is.
Well, and they, there was an article, maybe on Slate or Raw Story, you know, one of the Kami Pinko sites, that basically talked about, well, you know, the police, they have ways now of, they have these narratives that they go to. Not only the, he was going for my gun, he was going for my taser, I felt threatened.
Yeah,
you know, they've got the
bad.
Go-tos. But they also now have ways of explaining why they killed somebody shooting them in the back. Like somehow, I don't know what the narrative is.
I don't understand. Like, but I don't understand how they could even
they
think
have
that's
their
defensible.
Go-tos. Yeah, they have their go-tos.
I can understand. Like, I get, like, I mean, I don't get, but I get, like, how there's conflicting stories in that whole Ferguson thing, right? Where it's like there's not real video to show what happened. Some say he was running away, whatever. Some say he was turned around charging.
Who the fuck knows, though?
So it's
Look
like,
at
who
this.
The fuck knows? There's conflicting stories. But this one, it's obvious. Yeah. That dude shot him not once or twice, but
eight.
Oh, actually, seven times and then one more for good measure if you watch the thing. Where it's like seven and then he's like, bam. Right. And then to like plant the taser on him shit is just beyond. And then what I want to hear from on that story too is the other cop that walked up. You've never heard anything. Like if he didn't like, I guess he didn't see what had happened. So he only had that officer's version. But I don't know. I would have a shit ton of, but he was there when he dropped the taser. That's my point. I knew I was getting at something. But if you watch the video, he's there when the dude drops the taser. When the one who got arrested for murder, Slater or whatever his name is, something like that.
the dude that took the video, you know, is
he's like scared for his life. Right. He almost didn't even release it because of that. I just saw that a little while ago before I came over here.
Well, but he tried to do the right thing there at the scene. He tried to talk to the cops. Once all the cops swarmed around.
I didn't get to read the whole thing much because I was
that,
doing shit.
And that one of the cops is like, what? Well, he's like, you know, I was here. I saw it. And one of the cops is like, what? Don't go anywhere. And he just got a creepy vibe. He's like, I ran home. He said, I ran home. Yeah.
I wouldn't even. I mean,
he said he thought about for a couple of days, he thought about just erasing it. And yeah, pretend nothing happened. That's how this is.
Because he's an immigrant too, or something, right? So he like had like there was like more
Dominican Republic, yeah.
So it's like I can understand that fear, especially and also being a person of color himself. It's like I mean I don't want to like talk bad about people, but for real, but it's fucking South Carolina, and North Charleston isn't like Charleston that you think of in movies and TV and stuff where it's like big plantations and bridge. North Charleston is like. It's like the poor part. It's like,
right.
It's like, so it's like, it's not the same. So it's like, it's, I don't know. I'd be scared too. Good for him to finally like do it, like to decide to do it. But I'd be scared too. I don't blame him. I'd be scared for my damn life.
Yeah.
Because also it's another one of them situations where 80% of the cops in that town are white.
Yeah. It's a Ferguson-like situation. Like
percentage wise population to percentage versus cop percentage. And so it's like, I'd be scared too. I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah.
And I come from there. I know how people think back there and do. And I like to think it's better from when I lived there 20 something years ago, but I ain't so sure. Well, I will say parts are better. Listen, I go back in parts. I'm like,
South side Chicago ain't different.
Yeah.
Isn't
but like North Charleston is not.
I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood. It was pretty white. But it was all police, firemen, all city workers, you know, all the Irish motherfuckers that worked in downtown or were cops and stuff. And they're all racist. Everybody is racist.
Yeah. When I was growing up, there was a lot of racism in my town too. It was very segregated because it was very much it's in the town I grew up in the city part in Monroe, it's like, was pretty much 50-50 black to white. Really, like my high school was for sure. Like it was pretty much
really
equal. So I didn't really care one way or the other, but I just always like noticed everything because I would get in trouble for hanging around in the black parts of town after certain hours and things like that. My mama would get all squirrely.
My Catholic school growing up, first through eighth grade, two black kids.
But if you went into the county right outside, so we were in the city, but then there's like three or four different high schools or schools in the county. And those there would be like two, three black people. Mm-hmm. So if you were in the county, it was very much whitewashed. But in the city, it was 50-50. I didn't care. I grew up and I didn't care. I always marveled. I was like, why does everybody make such a big deal out of this shit?
Well, also in South Carolina, apparently your people there.
Oh, Lord. Technically, I'm from North Carolina, people. I don't want to go on the record for that.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, lots of my family is from South Carolina, and really, I grew up about 15 minutes from the border. So I claim both, really, because I spent a shit ton of time in South Carolina and North Carolina. So the Carolinas. I'm from the Carolinas.
The attorney general there has filed one of those amicus brief. You know, that's a friend of the court. It really just means we're sending you our opinion to the Supreme Court. Here's what we think. And it's for people who aren't party to a case, but who may have a vested income interest in the outcome.
What are they doing to my people now?
The question is, they're trying to address is, does the 14th Amendment require a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex? One of the cases that the Supreme Court, a lot of these battles is, you know, the states, in other states where it's legal, if you get married in a state where it's legal and you move to a state where it ain't legal, does that state have to recognize your marriage, because it's recognized federally, it's recognized by the previous state. And now there's, you know, the courts are starting to say, well, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Now you do. And
do you recognize those two straight people over there,
right?
Then you got to recognize these two over here.
So in this brief that the Attorney General of South Carolina filed, saying no. The 14th, basically the argument, I had to go like to three different articles to read this because I was fascinated by it. I couldn't wrap my brain around what the fuck they're trying to say. And I still kind of can't. It's one of the craziest arguments. Their argument basically is that because when the 14th Amendment was written and instituted, that the framers, they're looking at an originalist interpretation of this. And at the time, the 14th Amendment, it at the time allowed states to determine whether married women could own property or sign contracts without their husband's consent. So women in state, certain states could still be, you could still have a law in a state that says a woman can't own property unless her husband gives her permission.
What if she ain't married? Then she can't own property?
Don't ask me. And it also,
what about the ugly ladies?
She probably could. It's just once she got married, all of the assets transferred to the man.
All the assets transferred to the man. So it was better to be an ugly lady back then.
Yeah. So, but they did, you know, the 14th Amendment was enacted after the Civil War. And they said, well, so expressly said you couldn't discriminate based on race. So what they're saying is, look, at that time, the 14th Amendment allowed discrimination against women. So obviously, it would also allow us to decide at the state level to decide that.
So to decide banking, that issue. They're banking on a mentality from 18 what?
60-ish. So their argument is, well, you know,
in 150 years, you people don't want to think that maybe certain like mentalities and like trains of thought and like ways of approaching shit have changed. That maybe that we need to go with the with these people who want to go through life with their fucking head and saying like a damn ostrich, I just want to walk up behind them and put my foot up their ass while they're doing it. I can't. It's so asinine and stupid. And it's such a waste of time and money and resources and everything involved in taking this kind of shit to any kind of level. It drives me nuts. It drives me completely nuts.
It's incomprehensible.
I want to be the dude. My dream job, honestly, would be the dude who sits in front. Like when somebody brings a case up to anything, like here's the court for the state of California, whatever it is. And they go, okay, you basically got to like run this by Brent first, and if he reads this and says, okay, you got a point, then it goes on. But if he reads it and goes, you people are completely mouth-breathing morons, and this is a waste of everybody's time, and I don't even know why you're bringing this to my attention, and then throw it out. Like, I want to be able to wish there was that job, and I could do it. So I could just say, this makes sense. This, you're wasting my time. Get out of here with your nonsense.
Right.
Like when people come up with this like stupid asinine personal injury, like even down to little shit, like the person when somebody's getting sued for something ridiculous, it's just like, no. Calm the fuck down, people. Yeah,
calm the fuck down.
Calm the fuck down for 2 minutes. Damn. I tell myself that all the time. I get worked up. I get worked up over stupid shit. I get worked up over a cabinet that won't stay shut. But after I slam it too many times, I'm like, you need to reassess.
What happened to your printer?
It was gay bashing me, dude. That's what happened. I was gay bashed by my fucking printer wanting magenta ink and nothing else. And I might have slipped into a moment of blackout rage because all I needed was like this one black and white. I just needed black ink on white paper. And there was a brand new full black ink cartridge in there, and I might have lost my mind for a second and smashed, like, my man strength took over and I smashed the top of it, makes noises now. It just goes squaw, squaw, squaw.
I don't remember what you posted on Facebook, but it was something to the effect of, does anybody know where I can get a printer?
Yeah.
May have had a little issue.
Yeah, but that's because it was like it insisted on magenta ink, and I insisted that I should know better. Like, that's the thing, though, and that's the kind of thing that pisses me off, though, is the printer company forces me to have a full magenta in there. Like, what if I only want to print black? There's no override. I looked it up. I spent an hour and a half on the internet trying to figure out how you override it. Come to find out, you cannot. Like, Canon does it. HP does it. I was talking to my neighbor. He was having. He had the same fit.
Did you put out angry tweets to Canon or to
no, I should though. I didn't even think I was in such a blackout rage. I couldn't remember what to do. I was so mad.
You're busy beating
the shit out of your
printer.
Like, who does that? And then afterwards, then I'm like, God damn it. Now instead of buying a cartridge, now I got to buy one.
Now you got to buy a whole printer. Oh, well. Did you feel better?
I did. I felt so much better. I hit it hard, too. I was just right on top, like one of those smash, like a Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
It was. It felt so good. And then as soon as I did it, I was like, fuck. That felt good, but fuck.
Yeah. That's always the worry with the cell phone. I've
almost slammed the cell phone down before. Like, caught it mid slam. Like, this is not a rotary. You can't do that anymore. When you were 12, you could hang the fuck up on people. That was like, that's
with
one thing
emphasis,
I miss about.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I remember that. It's one of my favorite things about phone. You'd be like, you're a fucking asshole. Bang. And it goes clang, 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 clang. Because it has the bells inside.
Now you have a glass pad that you're running your finger over to hang up angrily on someone.
Yeah, you can't hang up angrily anymore. It's like with your finger, just poke a screen that doesn't even have a button to mash.
They should have an app for that where you have a loud hang up sound.
That would be, we should invent that and make $1 million.
That you hit the, yeah, damn it. Shark Tank. Trademark. Yeah.
Trademark. Right now. Brent Paris and Patrick Vile.
That's right. So the headline, we could check and see what the dummies over on the Drudge Report. By the way, an update, Ryan Pfeiffer. I would reach over, but my fucking shoulder, I can't tell you how much my fucking shoulder hurts right now still from that ridiculous moronic injury.
You need to put ice on
Crocs.
That shit. Don't put heat on it. Put ice on it.
Attacked me. My Crocs.
That's what you get for wearing Crocs. I know they are comfortable. I get it. I had a pair. Somebody gave them to me. They were red. I would never wear them anywhere. I wore them around the house because they were embarrassing. They're like clown shoes.
Mine are stylish. They're leather with
They're also fucking deadly.
Well,
apparently.
They're a little deadly.
Accident causing Crocs.
They
are hidden, but they are comfortable as fuck. I will admit that. Until your feet get too sweaty in them traditional ones, and then they get a little slippy and slimy in there.
Yeah. I don't like to wear them a ton. And then if you wear them with socks, you're absolutely you've given up. You've given up.
You're one step above black socks
there
with sandals.
There may be a photograph or two of me possibly wearing them in Europe with socks. I'm just saying.
That's okay. Nobody, you will never see any of those people again.
Right. I couldn't have screamed American more. The headline over on the Drudge Report, if we dial our brains down a couple hundred IQ points. Oh, that would be dead, wouldn't it?
That'd be dead.
Is a picture. I don't know why we have this photograph of Rand Paul in a bathing suit in the water, like
what?
Mud smeared on him. Like he's got mud smeared all over him. I don't know what's going on. But the headline says Rand takes lead in Iowa as press smears.
Okay. He's taking the lead of two morons. So he's the more popular moron.
Well, they probably included some of the other ninnies in there, but he's the official. Yeah, he's one of the few. Democrat Hillary Clinton, it says, has slipped against leading 2016 Republican candidates in Colorado, Iowa, and Virginia, according to a poll released on Thursday, citing damage from the furor over over the former Secretary of State's emails. So, God, people really care about that? These people weren't going to vote for her anyway. Anybody that is going to get all fired up about Hillary Clinton's emails wasn't going to vote for her in the first place. There's nobody on the fence that is going, no way, I'm going to vote Republican now because Hillary deleted those emails.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
Seriously,
that
way. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, I'm disappointed in her, but I'm like, okay, now don't do that anymore.
I want the Green Party to win. I'm
a pinko socialist environmentalist
these days. I mean,
I'm kind of leaning that way too. I'm like, why can't we all just get along? And how about we all just sort of coexist together and like not
and it's
fucking hate?
And it's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
I mean, my
when I was a kid, it was not this bad.
Liberalism,
right?
Yeah.
Or did I just not see it because I was a kid? Or like even in like I don't know, like college.
There's part of it though that we've talked about,
like even the 90s, it was not this bad.
But there's also a disconnect, I think, that I really wonder, because there are people now that even I'll bump into somebody that I haven't talked to in a while, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, now I scream about politics for 2 hours a day and type about it all day," they start talking, and these are very smart, very educated, very successful people who have no fucking clue as to what's going on with this.
Nobody knows.
Look at that Ted Cruz stuff.
Nobody knows what's going on.
We've been playing Ted Cruz clips since Ted Cruz started running in Texas on our show, because it's so batshit crazy, right?
I've been listening to y'all talk about him forever.
Yeah, we've been talking about Ted Cruz and playing clips. He's on our fucking, the opening of our of the show with this one.
I would not, could not with a goat.
And it's amazing how few people knew him until he just
people do not pay attention.
His shoes into the clown car. Now, when he did all this announcing and it finally made like national, regular 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever the fuck, 10 o'clock news you watch, which I can't believe people still watch just the regular old local X time news. That's still kind of odd to me.
Some
with all the news
do.
Available 24/7.
People like, actually, back when I had regular TV, a lot of times I would turn the news on like the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, you know, like I would be making dinner or whatever, and then
listening.
But the
right,
news
right.
would be on, and I'd listen to it. I didn't necessarily watch it, but it was on, and I would listen to it while I was doing shit or whatever. Especially in the morning, I was that way when I had a regular TV.
Yeah.
Until morning fucking news just became more than I can handle, especially out here in Los Angeles. In this town, it's just like glorified Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, that's horrible. There was an article about...
I love Entertainment liberals. News, and you should listen to the Hollywood Hick.
By the way, the Hollywood Hick.
Only the way I say it, not the way they do on LA Morning News.
The, what's that? Sam
Rubin.
Oh, God. Classic clip, though. We played it on the show a couple times. It was Sam Rubin was on, had Samuel Jackson.
I remember that.
Fucked up and asked him about the commercial he did and the commercial.
And it was Lawrence Fishburne.
And Samuel L. Jackson, just an epic takedown. He's like, wait a minute. You're the entertainment guy?
But you know what? In Sam Rubin's defense, I mean, it was a mistake. And he did own it. I'll give him his props on the second. He did own it and say, I'm sorry. I apologize. It was bad.
Yeah, but he got shredded.
He did get shredded. But actually, because that's the channel that I would watch sometimes in the morning, he's not the worst. Like, he was actually kind of like...
Is that the one with Alita with the giant breasts that walk into the screen?
On the news, the weather chick.
Tuscadero.
Yeah, with the giant knockers for the weather chick. Like, most weather chicks out here have knockers, but this chick. But the thing is, she dollyizes those tits and hooks them up.
Yeah,
and she wears the worst fucking outfits. She wears the worst outfit. I'm like, this woman obviously dresses herself, and somebody at that channel needs to be like, yo, lady, we got somebody who's going to start bringing some outfits for you.
You could literally freeze frame it as she was entering the screen and see titty, 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 and then the woman would enter the screen. I mean,
that's why men watch that channel for their weather. Right. They know exactly what titties are power.
If you Google her, the first picture that comes up
is just her titties. In
no, it's some like FHM shoot she did with all oiled up, laying back with the kids, especially the morning news out here.
It's all like fluff. You know who started that? That Jillian Barbary chick who's like,
no way. Oh, God. She talks. She's got a word count on her
Was on Channel 11 out here, the Fox channel out here forever. And then she sort of started that sort of bimbo in the morning thing out here. And then all the other networks started like adding their bimbo in the morning.
So the headline at the Drudge, I guess they're crowing that in some ridiculous poll, Rand Paul maybe gained a couple of points.
But it's too early. I don't give a fuck about a point right now. What are you talking about points? Ain't nobody got a point. We don't know who all's up in there yet, fools.
Right.
Why are you going to tell me about points? Okay, he gets for all intents and purposes, you might have considered everybody else. But we only know of two people, and there are only two Republicans that we know are for sure running because ain't nobody else said so yet. There's only Spear say. hearsay and speculation.
Spearsay and heculation.
Yeah, spearsay and heculation.
So that's what's going on there with
Drudge is grasping.
Drudge is grasping. It must be a slower news day. They also have a picture that says, get ready for new internet fees, with a picture of Obama giving thumbs up. Because, you know, they're going to blame Obama for taking over the internet. The government taking over to internet. Instead of the
too
benevolent
fucking bad
corporations. I still...
too just, fucking bad.
It baffles me more and more how people think that handing everything over to big, giant, soulless corporations whose sole desire is to make profit...
makes absolutely no sense at all whatsoever. I can't believe how people would wrap their brain around it and think it even makes sense.
And it's going to be run better. I'll take a government bureaucracy and bullshit and, you know, maybe some occasional shenanigans over at least the intent of a government program is for the people.
Yeah.
The ultimate intent and goal of government programs, they may not be the most successful at.
Well, and I would like to at least, if you hand it over to the corporations, I have lost all say as a citizen, pretty right. much. I don't give a shit what you say. I've lost all say. When I'm dealing with the government, at least I can have a like little teeny thought in the back of my head, like maybe I could make a difference if I wanted to, or whatever, like, or if I chime in, it could, like, I don't know. But it's like, don't tell me corporations are going to listen to the little guy, because they're not. But government, right. you'd at least have the opportunity to sort of, like, if you have the, like, wherewithal, you could get a grassroots organization started up to maybe make a difference. But when it's on a corporation, that ain't going to happen. They're just going to shut your ass right down.
And what personality type generally makes it to the top of a corporate cesspool?
The fucking sociopath.
Right. An asshole who forgoes everything else.
Yeah, whose one goal is to be
succeed.
Right. at all costs, no matter who I fuck over on the way, no matter what.
It's and like, as a shareholder, that's the guy you
and
want.
And it's all for me. It's all for me. I'm not sharing nothing.
But do we really want those people running government?
I don't understand.
No. Like,
and all these people with these blue collar jobs that support these people, I don't get it. It's like they are basically taking money out of your pocket. Because you're allowing them to like make all this shit so difficult on everybody.
Jesus.
It's like we have the power to stand up and do something, but it's like nobody wants to put their damn strike card up like Norma Rae anymore. Ain't nobody standing on tables at the freaking lunch telling everybody we need to strike.
There was a great article too about I'm going to try to piece it together in my addled brain about basically the premise is how in the 70s and everything, in the 60s, 70s, you know, it was a lot of the young people leading the protests, leading the counterculture movements. And that now the evil corporate overlords have done such a good job of poisoning the whole system that, I mean, look what they even do. To get into college, where a lot of this dissent formed, you have to enslave yourself to a giant corporate evil bank or entity to the tune of six figures sometimes.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can't afford to go out and get arrested for protesting. Because it's going to affect you getting a job.
Which means you can't pay off these loans. And you can't even claim
exactly.
You don't even have the same rights to claim bankruptcy as the people who have enslaved you with this,
right.
like this like mountain of debt. You can't, because they say that we can't repossess your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It makes absolutely no sense. So they keep this like keeping them down, like their credit rate. You know how many young guys I've talked to whose credit is in the fucking shitter because of student loans and student loans.
And then in
only.
Some states, these fucking Republicans are instituting things like if you default on your student loan, they take away your driver's license.
That makes
Therefore,
sense. Because you're going to further take away my ability to make money
right?
to pay your ass back.
Right. Exactly.
It's like I read an article about how, and it is completely ridiculous out here. Like in California is like one of the worst offenders of it. And like LA is even the probably the worst offender of it. But how they basically hand out all these tickets to people that they can't pay. And right. then the fees on the flip side are so exorbitant that these people live in like forever. So like they mm-hmm. can't, their license gets suspended because they can't pay the ticket. And then they can't pay the ticket. Even if they try to like work something out, they say, I don't give a fuck. And then it goes from $140 to like $1,400 overnight. And even if you get written a ticket that say is $90, it is not a $90 ticket right. in Los Angeles. It is like a $290 ticket because the ticket is only tells you how much the offense costs. Then you go to pay it and they go, well, you've got court fees and building fees. Yeah. And they try to like make me pay a fee for the building I went to go pay it in.
Right.
And then even if I do it online, I'm paying the fee to go pay for it in a building.
And in some places they're going one step further and they're throwing people in prison now yeah. for that.
Because that's what we debtors, need, more people in prison.
Debtors' prisons.
Because now you tried to get a couple of grand out of these people, you're going to end up spending several hundred thousand grand on these people, keeping them in jail because you wanted $900 out of them for a parking ticket. That makes absolutely no fucking sense.
Private jail corporations
are
money.
Sitting over there having themselves tickling taint all
make
over town.
Money. We could take a break. It's about the top of the hour here, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4, 5, 6 out on the Eastern Coast, 1 hour behind. So that means it's 2 Alaska time where Ryan just left.
They're only an hour behind?
Yeah, I think so. Wherever he's at, it was an hour. So he is, we were texted a little while ago. He said he's on Lyft. So I guess he's taking a Lyft with the pink mustache car.
Oh, no train. They don't put the mustaches on anymore.
They don't anymore, but I miss the pink
mustache. I kind of miss them.
The nasty.
You knew who your car was.
Ratty pink mustaches.
Because I take Lyft more than Uber now. Because I use them a lot because I drink. So, but like I take Lyft more than Uber these days. Because yeah. Uber, so I don't like their business practices. I think they're horrible. They've gone like
they're kind of shady, aren't they?
They're shady as fuck. I don't want to give you money. But Lyft, they seem the lesser of the evil. And they don't surge price me as much, the Lyft, I've noticed. Like somebody will be like, ooh, Uber's like 2.5 times. I'm like, look at fucking Lyft. And you'll look at it and regular.
Just go to Lyft. Yeah, I gotta say they're amazing. I finally had a Uber experience a couple of weeks ago. And goddamn, it's the coolest fucking thing ever. I mean,
it's great.
We were kind of drunk off our asses downtown.
Yeah, it's great.
And the guy had the Uber. And we stood up, and he's like, oh, he logged in, and within 10 seconds, he goes, he'll be here in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Three minutes, Lyft is exactly the same. The guy was there in 3 minutes.
Occasionally, they get a little, like, I mean, there are regular people driving around, so occasionally, I've had a couple get a little twisted and, like, lost, but I don't get upset about that. I get upset at printers, but I don't get upset at lost Lyft drivers because I'm like, okay, I get lost all the time. I can't get mad about that. I have no sense of direction.
So, don't they have apps though? And
they do, but sometimes it doesn't pin you exactly. Right. So it'll be like maybe half a block away so they get confused. Sometimes like when the roads do weird shit and so it's like,
how much respect do you have for the older cab drivers who used to have to memorize every fucking road?
No, fuck them. They should still memorize every road. I hate when I get into a car and these people don't know how to get somewhere. I hate that so much.
Okay.
No, like that's okay. If you're going to do that job, learn your surroundings. Like at least learn the major roads. Know where all the freeways are, sort of where how to get to them, and what your main thoroughfares are. Learn those because you don't know how many times. And even taxi cabs in this town, I'm always having to direct them. I tried to tell one time how to get to the Wiltern Theater down not far from where we are right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, where is that? I'm like, at the corner of Wilshire and Western, two of the biggest thoroughfares around town.
Right.
And they're like, where's that?
No
I wanted
way.
To reach
That's
up in
one.
Front seat and smack them upside the head is what I wanted to do. I was like, you have to know where it is. You have, like, how can you not know where that is? I had them not know where the 5 freeway was before.
Not good.
And then my drunk ass gets mad because I feel like you're taking advantage of me because you don't know where you're going. And then
you get Uber thumbs down.
I get Uber thumbs down. Well, you say it's with taxi cab drivers for some reason, but I have been threatened to be put out and have been put out before.
Brett, I've never seen that side of you. We hear all these stories about.
I get mad. I feel like they're taking advantage of me.
From various venues.
Usually it's because my idea of fun does not jive with everybody else's. But in the taxi cab situation, no. And I will freely admit, more times than not, it's me being a drunk asshole. But is because a couple of times I was taken advantage of, and so then I was like always like a little bit on edge, and so I was like quick on the draw, whatever. That's I'm not a bad person, y'all. I just get upset.
No, that's why I can't. Let's take a break here. Instead of some music, I'm going to fire up, speaking of commie sedition, this guy is not sedition, Richard Wolff. I looked him up, and on his goddamn Wikipedia page, they call him a heterodox economist, which means...
What the fuck is that?
It means... unorthodox, I think.
Okay.
Like, not mainstream. First of all, why wouldn't you say unorthodox? And second of all, fuck you saying unorthodox. He's a little Marxistian, not totally, but he's a definite socialist kind of... He's amazing. I've been listening to him. It's probably poisoning my mind toward grabbing a pitchfork and torches. But you just got to listen to this guy. It just all makes sense. It's everything. It's actually, I think I talked about this before. It's nothing that I don't think we haven't talked about here in a million different pieces at various times of stories of how all this shit happened, how we're in the shithole that we are right now, and how the evil corporate
ain't changing anytime soon.
1%ers are sucking the life out of the country, and the system is really rigged against us. All kinds of Elizabeth Warren-y kind of stuff that she's saying. This guy's amazing. Let me see if I can fire this up. It's a really long clip. We're probably not going to get through the whole thing, but instead of firing up some music for you guys, listen, educate yourselves. Listen into...
Learn something. Listen to the truckers.
Yeah, listen to Richard Wolff, a brilliant economist and writer and author and professor. He says, this is the story, it's on our Facebook. He asks his students one time, or he frequently asks his students at college, what is the relationship between communist, socialist, terrorist, Marxist, and anarchist? And you'll hear in the clip, he says, they all raise their hands and they say, that's easy, synonyms. And it's just...
That's interesting.
Socialist and terrorist are the same thing. Marxist and anarchist are the same thing. They're not! But this media, this corporate-run, profit,
America loves a fucking dollar.
Has turned even the education system, you say the word communist, and that's it. That's the bad guy. That's evil, right? Communists are evil. It's just
communists are evil. That's just the way it is.
Ryan told a story on yesterday's show about how, I think it was, he said when he was a kid, he drew a picture of communists or something. They had to draw pictures of different government forms. And he drew communists. And he drew them all evil, And he said, because that's just what...
That's what you were taught.
...put into your brain.
Communists were evil. Socialists were stupid.
Right.
And America was perfect. That's what I was taught when I was growing up.
So we're going to take just a couple minute break here. Listen to Richard Wolff educate you for a minute while we refill our glasses and empty bladders and shit. We'll be back.
In the last 30 to 40 years, radically away from everything Roosevelt did. The last 30 or 40 years could be described by the phrase, roll back the New Deal. Undo all that was done by this story of Roosevelt that I just told you. And we really know why. The business community hated this. They had to pay these enormous taxes to take care of what Mitt Romney called, the 47% of moochers in our society. They were furious at these taxes. The rich were furious at paying 91%. Even if they got out of a lot of that with clever tax accountants, they still had to pay a lot to take care you or me. They didn't want that. They knew the problem wasn't Franklin Roosevelt. By 1945, the man was dead, so that clearly he wasn't the problem. But they knew it was never him. It was that coalition of unions and socialists and that was the problem. They knew that if you took away that political powerhouse, the ideas would never have come up. And we know they're right, because in the depression we've had since 2008, that coalition isn't there And that's why Obama is not Roosevelt. There's nothing to make Obama be Roosevelt. And that's not an accident, and that's not a mystery. As soon as the war was over, the business community, the ones who had never been persuaded by Roosevelt, went to work to destroy that coalition. They began with the weakest link, the Communist Party. And they turned them from a militant organizing thing, which is what it had been in the 30s and 40s, into the horrible agent of a foreign power. And you know the rest. It's in all of our minds, whether we think it is or not. It's right there. It's in our culture. We demonized them. They were evil, bad. We killed a couple of them, didn't we? The Rosenbergs, for those of you who never heard these stories. We killed, we executed them. As agents precisely of Moscow. And as soon as the communists were wiped out, put in jail, deported, all the things we did to them, we did a very peculiar thing, although not surprising if you understand it. We went after the next weakest link, the socialists. And the way that we did it in this country was by saying, socialists are just like communists, they just spell it differently. You know, I used to wonder, since I'm the child of immigrants, my mother was German, my father was French, and so, you know, if you grow up in a household with other languages, it's a different way of living. And I go back, because I have family in France, I go back and I spend a lot of time there, I speak those languages, and it took me a while to understand. If you go to Europe, France or Germany, you say communist and socialist, people know exactly, they're very different, and they can explain to you what the difference is. Whereas here in America, my students, when I ask them, what's the relationship between communist, socialist, terrorist, Marxist, and anarchist? They all raise their hands and say, that's easy, synonyms. Well, and I used to think, are they dumb or did they didn't learn anything? No, that's nothing to do. That's what we were taught. A whole generation was taught. This is all the same. And today we know how to extend it. We add Muslim. But no, why not? Makes as much sense as other things being synonyms. It's kind of nutty. But it comes out of our culture. So you destroyed the socialists by saying they were, you know, more or less communists. And that left the labor movement. And if I had a piece of chalk, I'd show you what happened to the labor movement in the last 50 years, and it's a straight line down into the toilet. Today, the private sector, for those of you that do not know, in the private sector, which is the major part of our economy, the percentage of workers who are either members of a union or represented by a union is 6.7%. The other 93.3% of private sector workers are not represented by a union. So the next time you read a newspaper article that talks about our economy with big business over here and big labor, you're talking about someone who lives on another planet. Because that's make-believe. In their wildest dreams, the unions do not have that kind of power and never did, but not now after a 50-year uninterrupted decline. Bottom line, the unions are small and weak. We don't have a socialist party or parties worth the name, and our communist party, if it vaguely exists, has no influence. The coalition that brought the success in the 30s is gone, destroyed, and not by accident or inadvertence, but by intent. And that's why in this collapse of capitalism, the second in 75 years, we don't have anything like that. We've just gone through 7 years of really bad unemployment with no significant Republican or Democratic leader ever talking about public employment, which would be a way to solve the problem. What way? The way we used the last time. It's our history. It's like a collective amnesia. It's amazing. It's not that we debated it, bro. It's as if it never happened. It never happened. And taxing corporations and the rich, this is like, I don't know, attacking motherhood and apple pie. It's unthinkable. But it's our history. And by the way, when you suggested to people, I've done this in Washington, to congressmen and women, the couple times they made the mistake of bringing me there, and they said, we can't do that, that'll be the end of the our political careers. I loved explaining to them, the one president in American history who really went after the rich and taxed them, and really went after the corporations and taxed them, was reelected 4 times. No other president in American history ever came close to that. He's the most popular president we ever had.
Talking now, we're talking a little bit of Richard. Hey everybody, we're back. Details. A little bit of Richard Roll for your ear holes. Good long segment there, and a great point that he makes, that the one president that taxed the fuck out of the rich and the corporations and started all the new deal, the social security and all those Medicare,
got people back to work,
and government jobs and all that shit, the GI Pro bill, they elected him 4 times. He got elected 4 times.
And didn't they have to be like, okay, 4, like we can't, like 4 is his limit? Or could he have gone again back then?
He died.
Oh, that's right, he died.
Yeah, he died. And
the Hollywood Hicks should brush up on his history.
And then he talks about this.
That's right, he died.
Richard Wolff, I think, in this segment, he might
talk about
it. He would have
got elected again.
How, well, then they made sure they couldn't abide that. Because they don't want a president that the people like, who helps the people. So that what they do, they passed a law.
16 years or almost 16.
They passed a law that said you can't be president more than twice.
But in this day and age, I think that's a good thing.
I do too. Although I guess
that's sort of the catch 22 of it all. But I honestly think that you should not be able to be like a senator for fucking ever, like fucking Strom Thurmond and Orrin Hatch and like Jesse Helms from my fucking hometown in Monroe, North Carolina, that fucking embarrasses the shit out of me.
Jesse,
my mom
was
like, had her lips stuck to his ass.
Really?
Like, they loved him. Oh. You do not. Well, one, he was from my hometown.
Truly amazing.
So
did you know any of his half black kids?
No. Not that I'm good. I mean, I knew the story.
Wait, is that Strom Thurmond?
No, that's Strom Thurmond.
Both of them.
Jesse Helms. I've heard about Strom Thurmond, but I hadn't heard about Jesse Helms.
Oh,
Jesse Helms is just a hypocrite asshole. I had to go to a dinner thing for Jesse Helms because my mom's one of her best friends and mentors growing up. He went to my church and she was very close to him. He was older. He was Jesse Helms' age. And they went to school together or something. And so they were friends all along. And my mama really looked up to him. So we went to this dinner that was for Jesse Helms. I was in college.
Oh,
and it was like a fundraiser thing in town. Like he came to come do a fundraiser at home. He was running, I guess. And you do not know the lecture I got before we left the house, because I didn't want to go, but my mama made me go because she thought I'd learn something.
Maybe it would convert you.
And I was like, no, I don't want to go to this. And I was like, and it was when that Mapplethorpe shit was going on.
Oh,
when he was against,
sure,
Mapplethorpe, that's what was going on. I was like, no. And I'm like in the theater program in college. I'm like, no, mama. I'm like, he is trying to destroy art. You know, I was like, that was my big, like, I was like 20, you know, 20.
Were you out?
No.
At that point, no.
It's like, I was the free spirit.
Ah.
Like, they, like, no, I didn't come out till after college. And I never really came out to the whole family. I still, like, we've never had the conversation.
Because, really?
Oh, not, no. They didn't want to. I talked about it with my brother.
With your mom?
My mom and dad have both passed away, but it was just that sort of unspoken, we all know and get. And that's how they were. That's why I was like, I'm not, I lived out here. Then my life was completely separate. When I came out of the closet.
So you never brought someone home to dinner?
No, I did once.
Uh-oh.
As my roommate, Jose.
How did that, Jose? I don't know why that's
actually
funny.
My mama
me.
Really liked him. She was like, she asked me about him. She would ask me, like, whenever she like typed his name, it was Hosa, which always cracked my ass up.
Hosa.
Yeah, that's how she spelled it. It would crack me up. But and I never corrected her because it always made me giggle. But she always asked me about him because she did generally like him. But not under the guise of boyfriend. He was my roommate, and then that never worked. That was like my first boyfriend out here. It did not work out. he was a dancer. You should never date. Look, public service announcement.
Oh,
fuck dancers. Don't date them.
College. Yeah,
that
yeah.
They're nuts. They're nuts. There's like, I don't know, there's a narcissistic there's level you will never get past.
There's an interesting. Yeah. There's some. Yeah. There's an interesting.
Yeah. That's my rule. I don't
date comics too. Yeah,
I don't date comics. I do not. I do not dip the pen in company ink. Ain't doing it.
You don't want to be stuck in an open mic somewhere. Well,
and that too. And there's not really that many attractive homo comics, to be quite honest.
There's a scoop, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, a lot of times I can be attracted to a personality, and I've known to like have that happen, and it has happened. Sometimes like they might not be the most conventionally like good looking person, but
there's just
like,
something attractive about them. Yeah.
And there's comics where I like see that, like gay and straight, or whatever. I'm like, okay, if I did that, that would be the one that I would maybe consider with. I've had that thought. Everybody has that thought. You're dead if you don't like look at people and think like I want to fuck that or not. Like that's usually one of the first questions a man says to their head. Not that they're going to act on it, ever react on it, but one of the first things you think is like, I'd hit that. And now, hello, my name is Brent. How are you doing? And then I don't bring it up unless like maybe there's like something alludes to where they're like, maybe you should.
Right.
But
unless you're
one of the first things you ask yourself, at least I do, on Scrub. Yeah, if you're on Scrub.
Then you throw all that shit out the window, right?
No, they don't, like some of them don't even. The Scrub is fucking hysterical. I like to at least have a little bit of small talk before I try to like go in for a like question that's of any sort of randiness, you know. But some people are just like, first thing you get is a pecker, and then
really go, just a dick pic,
a dick, and it's looking with a question mark, like meaning like I got a pecker, are you looking for one? And like that always kind of turns me off. It's like that's Scruffed? A little too eager.
Doesn't everyone on Scruffed have one of those? Probably.
No, actually, you know what? I don't put my pecker on the Scruff.
No, but I mean, everybody possesses one.
Yeah, they all possess. So, well, most people.
Why do they think that that's good? Obviously, that works.
Well, it does work. People. It works. Like, well, and sometimes it works on me.
Oh, well, there you go.
Depending on like this, but I. But if there's no small talk afterwards, then I'm like, oh, okay. If that means you don't have a personality at all. Like, I need to at least see a like a modicum of wit or something. You know, like at least laugh at something I say funny. You know, like or make like a LOL. If you don't LOL at least once, I'm not fucking it.
You got stalked though, right?
Minimally, like, but I shut it down quick. I'm one of those people that's like, I addressed it. I was like, nah, dude, this shit ain't gonna work out. But I did, like, would show up places, like, and that one I didn't even fuck or have sex with. I should say, I don't want to sound too crude, but like, I didn't even have sex with the dude. I met him for drinks and stuff.
This is crazy.
And then I didn't
say fuck. You could say whatever the hell you want.
I don't know, but people would be like, but whatever. They always think all we want to do is put our pecker in somebody's ass, which is true a lot of the times, but it's not true a lot of the times too. And but whatever, he would just show up places, and I think it was.
And what's wrong with that, by the way?
Well, you know what? The first time, I guess it could be construed as kind of cute, but if the first time you're sort of like, nah, dude, it's like, when I'm doing this, I'm not like trying to like hook up, like whatever.
If
you sort of just put the kibosh on it the first time, okay, fine, I get it. But then if you just keep coming back after they've told you no, like it's like whatever, then that gets a little bit stalky. And that's when I was just finally, I was just like, dude, this shit's not cool.
Yeah, a little creepy.
Because he was showing up at comedy shit too, and I was like, I don't want these people to think I'm something. They already think I'm a crazy homo. I don't want them to think I'm like that kind of crazy homo. You know what I mean?
That's crazy homo.
So I was like, nah, dude. And this is where the superficial part comes in. I don't even know why I'm telling this story, but I might as well finish it. But the other part of it is he was not cute. His pictures were a misrepresentation of who he was.
False advertising.
And so I don't think I am. And like a bad person because I'm like, you are not what you put on to be. So I should rightfully be able to say that's kind of fucked up.
There was a guy recently, part of my day job, my survival gig, is that I do reports for a major online dating entity. I do media reports. I find out how they're being covered out in the media. And the reports I do is a general industry report. So I see, every morning part of my searches and part of my queue is Grindr. And not so much Scruffed and stuff like that.
So like
Grindr's the big one.
Grindr's the big one.
There's a guy recently who got arrested for banging an underage kid.
Yeah.
On Grindr. And they tried to sue Grindr He tried to sue Grindr.
Oh, I saw that. You're right. Yeah, I saw that article.
And the Grindr won. Like,
yeah, because
they don't have to. How do you know? But then on the other side is like, if dude, this is one of those weird things.
It's like it is that catch 22.
If dude didn't know how old the kid was, I mean, if he knew the kid was, I think he was 16 or 17 or something like that, obviously throw his ass in jail. But if, I mean,
if the guy, well, not even a kid, 16.
Do you have to card people?
Well, that's the thing. It's like almost, if they look questionable, you almost have to. It's really the truth. You have to be like, I need to see a fucking ID. Nobody's going to. But it's like, it's the thing.
There goes the whole anonymous banging, right?
I know. Well,
if you got to card somebody?
It's like, if you won't tell me your name, I'm not fucking around you.
Do I have to show you my driver's license, though? And my birth certificate?
If you look 12... and I want to make sure I'm not going to go to jail.
Committing a felony? Right.
Then, like, yeah, I'm going to say, right. Like, yo, dude, you know, I don't want to be.
So this
actually,
guy.
But actually, like, that's just, like, luckily for me.
This guy's
like,
guilty
I don't skew younger. So you don't I don't like have to worry. I'm like, I am free and clear of that unless somebody slips me a roofie and I do something unbeknownst to myself.
And somebody Cosby's you.
Yeah, if somebody Cosby's me. I love how that's going to forever be known as Cosbying now. I feel like that's going to stick.
A little bit.
I feel like Cosby's going to like have legs.
What is that, a Pyrrhic victory, they call that?
Because I was even... Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, nothing will happen to him.
So I saw another chick is trying to like subpoena some stuff. Like she's trying to get unclosed the unseal the part from when that one, the chick, I forget her name, that I'm like on my second whiskey, so I can't remember her name. but she... But from the one that he settled, that case, where there was girls were going to back her up and all that, like, she thinks that in there's a deposition or something somewhere where he, like, basically admits something, and she's trying to get that, like, unsealed, and I'm curious to see how that all plays out. I don't think she'll win, but you never know, so I'm, like, curious. I'm still following that whole thing.
The Hollywood Hick on the Sevens, ladies and gentlemen, here on the network. Don't forget to listen.
Yeah, listen all the time. If there's something new on Cosby, I'll tell you. And Bobby Christina, which nothing has happened. Oh, except for Bobby is actually going to leave her side. I just read it today, finally. It's been since March. He's been right there by her side. I'll give him his props.
Oh, really?
But he's contractually obligated to do shows in Australia. Poor guy. I feel bad for him. Ugh. And so when it happened, it was supposed to be in March. They postponed it because of
New Edition.
I think it's just Bobby Brown. He's with some like Color Me Bads or something. It's like
Color Me Bad.
I'm not kidding.
Damn, awesome.
Yeah, it's like him and like a couple of Color Me Bads. Because remember, like I think the one Color Me Bad died or something. He was like a big drug addict,
got really fat,
and he was like on what's that fat lose weight show, Biggest Loser.
And then
he like lost weight, then he got fat again, sort of thing, and then. I think he like ended up like ODing somehow. But I could be mixing it up with something else. Whatever. It's Bobby Brown and two guys from like a Color Me Bad. If not Color Me Bad, very similar. One of those from back then. But he has to contractually do it. Like he has to go. Like he has no choice. Poor guy.
Speaking of 80s bands, and I do have to admit, this is one I was talked into going to see in the day and ended up
being. And then enjoying it?
One of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life. Culture Club, Boy George.
Oh, see, I would love to have seen Culture Club. I never saw Culture Club.
Amazing. Fucking amazing. I guess
back in the day, Culture Club?
He's doing a reality show. That's the headline today.
He needs money.
He's moving from London to Los Angeles. And he is now teaming up with...
The guy has an amazing voice.
Bunham Murray Productions, and they're going to
Bunham Murray, they do good ones.
Yeah, and they're going to be chronicling... The move to Los Angeles. Ryan Pfeiffer just walked in.
Back from Alaska.
Back from Alaska. He's even got a flannel on.
He did. He looked
Alaska-ish.
They rubbed up on him in one whole week.
It's interesting here. It says, if Marge Simpson met Dolly Parton and went dancing with Ziggy Stardust, it wouldn't come close to what you'll see, Boy George said in his announcement. He mentioned.
I guess I might have to watch
your beloved Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. If you say Dolly Parton and must watch, I must watch.
And he said, "Why now? Why not?"
But he needs money.
He probably needs money. He doesn't have to pay off the lawsuit of the
boy tied up some dude and like it's like that was nuts. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. It's a hell of a drug.
He imprisoned the guy, handcuffed him, was the story.
Hung him from the ceiling or something by handcuffs. Like, it was, no, like,
awesome.
Yeah. He went to jail for a while for that. Poor, like, oh God, I was like, when I was a kid, like, I loved Culture Club. I had like a Culture Club collage on my bedroom
Seriously?
Wall. Yeah, but every time my brother saw it, he was like, you faggot.
Dude, and I gotta tell you, the concert was amazing.
I bet it was. I'm jealous.
And it was the original backup singer. That heavy,
oh, yeah,
the heavy white
amazing.
Chick with the short, like, spiky white hair.
Yeah, she was amazing.
With that crazy soul. Church of the Poison Mind, that shit. Oh,
Church
God.
Church of the
oh,
Poison Mind.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I bet that was great.
The best, still, will never top the concert that I did see. I was privileged enough to see Prince Purple Rain tour.
Ooh, I didn't see Purple Rain.
Morris Day and the Time opened for him. First Sheila E. Before she was in his band. She had her own shit going on.
Yeah, with her drums.
Right.
Exactly. I love Sheila E. Are you kidding?
That's glamorous like, Life. That's
yeah,
it.
Glamorous Life.
And then Morris Day and the Time was the next band. And then it was Prince. And it was the whole, he ended up, that was Purple Rain. It was that white guitar with him standing on top of the speaker at the end with jizz shooting out of the guitar.
Yeah, back before he was a Jehovah and still did dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the what was the one I saw? I saw it at the Charlotte Coliseum when I was in college. Oh, it was the Love Sexy Tour. Sheila E. was the drummer when I saw it.
Yeah, she's still.
She's still drumming.
She's
fucking amazing.
She's amazing.
He had like this like special part of the stage for her that like rotated around. It was in the round. I remember
her father
was
amazing. A famous drummer.
Famous music drummer. Yeah. Like huge. Yeah. And then, yeah, she did like Glamorous Life and what else? I can't remember her other song now because I have Glamorous Life in the head. But she had like two or three hits.
I kind of had
a
thing for Sheila E. when that whole thing came out because she wore those little short shorts that kind of
70s. Oh, and she was sexy too.
That kind of 70s vibe, you know, with kind of the big.
Yeah, she was totally sexy as hell too. Yeah. She'd wear those like outfits with the cutout leg.
I knew what was going on.
It was like a jumpsuit with just like one leg was cut out and the other one. Yeah, and she would drum the.
And I got to tell you, she opened, I saw it at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago. And they opened it with, it was new technology at the time. They had those weird glowing LED sticks. And they turned all the lights off in the whole place.
They did that at the Love Sexy
all
Tour.
All of a sudden, you just heard... And you could just see these drums. She's an amazing... She's like one of the top drummers.
Really talented.
Yeah. She's an amazing drummer. And she opened that's how she opened the whole concert. Was, you know, everything went black and all of a sudden you see these glowing sticks just going fucking crazy.
I remember that Love Sexy Tour. They had updated it by then because like her part of the stage was all twirling. It went dark and it was like all the like lights were on the thing shooting out and then all of a sudden it like cut out and then you just saw the sticks going crazy.
The only one I would love to see, it was McCartney. I would really somehow like to finagle if he does another tour before he drops dead.
He will. He loves it too much because he did that song with Rihanna and Stanky West.
What the hell's wrong with him?
He is such a narcissist.
That song
his
is
ego.
Horrible.
That's
horrible.
That 25.
Yeah, we played that. That was in the top five. It still might be in the top five.
It's a huge hit. I don't get it. I don't get it. And like Paul McCartney, what he just plays the guitar.
Does he even sing? I was going to say.
No,
I haven't been able to find the part where he sings.
It's not. He plays the guitar. It's. I don't get it. It's like, why are you tooting up that Paul McCartney is on your song when he don't sing a damn word of your shitty song? That I don't understand why. I don't get it. I don't get Rihanna. I used to like her back in the day because she was fun. But now she's like tries to take herself serious. And she sings the same note. Everything is... everything is the same note. I just like nothing. She does. She has no ups, down. It's all the same note. It's just to a different beat every time. I can't. I've got to the point where I can't.
She's had some good songs, but
she's had some good songs. I will say, but if you listen to the songs, they're good and catchy. But she sings the same note throughout the entire song.
Well, everything is scientific now. I mean, there was an article a while ago about the math.
It
now,
is. Why do they use maths to
of
make
top
music?
Songs? And that they literally follow a formula now of a certain pattern that just sells the best and that humans
respond
to the most.
That's why my country music got ruined.
And the lyrics are
Irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Baby, baby, baby. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Body anthem time. Burr, 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 burr.
God, we played
shit.
The top. We were talking. We mentioned you. We were talking about bro country.
I fucking hate bro country music. They are ruining country music with that shit. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, we played one of the top country songs.
It's so bad.
And it was totally that bro country.
It's horrible.
Shit.
It's all bro country. It's all bro country. I can't stand it.
Did you
I
see Merle?
Stand it.
Merle Haggard, 1,000 years old. No, that's kind of country I like.
I like all country. I like the new. I like a lot of the news. I just don't like the bro thing. It all sounds the same. Somebody a while back, several months ago, did like a thing on YouTube where they took the top like 10 or 15 of these bro country songs, the biggest ones, and basically would play a little bit of one, and they took different parts from, but it was like at 10 seconds to 15 seconds, this is this part of this song. And so it's not like they shifted things. It was like from this moment in the song, the same time point in this song, we're going to lift. And they mixed them together and it made this.
The same. It sounds like the same tone.
With like just different people cutting in and out singing the same exact fucking thing about pickup trucks and girls in their short shorts
getting
like
drunk.
Scooting on over and like dancing on my hitch and all this stupid shit. I'm like, I like a song like that once in a while, but when that's everything on the radio, and there is no ladies on the country radio right now, and I am a big lover of lady singers. I like a lady singer.
Well, not many. What's her face from American
Miranda
Idol?
Miranda Lambert's the only one in Carrie Underwear.
Carrie Underwear. When we played the number one songs a couple of weeks ago, she was number one on the fucking gospel. On Christian. She's gotten Jesus.
Well, and it was like a big country song. She's always been Jesus. She's always been
fucking gospel.
But she's
the
good kind of Christian. She's actually the good kind of Christian. She's like, she's down with the homos. She's down with that. Like, if you hear her talk. No, she's actually like, it's good. She's not that bad of a Christian.
That was my point about
she's the kind that, like, it's like, fine, believe in your God. Just don't, like, make me. And she's like, I get it.
Is that Merle Haggard not that long ago said that he can't believe what people say about the president. Like, he's...
Because he's an outlaw. Because he's been on the outside. He knows. Like, because that's why him and Johnny Cash.
Well, and he's like,
and
even
like
if
Waylon Jennings are all the outlaws.
It's a different level now.
It's a different level.
If you disagree politically,
even my
just
redneck
a
brother says he's like my president. I gotta respect him. You know, like it's like
really,
He's like, I don't like him, but he's my president, so I have to respect him. I was like, there are people who it's like they sort of do agree to disagree. It's that squeaky
wheel. How did you dodge the racism? Were your parents? My parents.
It's just my parents were brought up really different. They were brought up during the whole thing. Like, they both came out of it. But when I was little kid, Southern Baptist, and my dad grew up on a farm in South Carolina, where there were a lot of people who worked on the farm, and there were actually families who like. It's not indentured servant, but it's sort of that thing where like they basically
sharecroppers
sharecropper, and they like they had a plot and there was like a house, like they were great and all of that stuff. So, but it's like they worked and like granddaddy paid them and they had a place to live and it was all good and they worked together basically is how it was. Because I remember when my granddaddy passed away when I was in college, like there were as many black people as white people around too, because there was just. A few still. It's like, it was like they lived. I was like, oh yeah, they lived back there on the back of the farm. It was just always had, always will. And they were some of the most upset. But it's just the way it was. So they grew up that way, but they came out of it. But towards the end, like the end of it, my mama would always be like, people are nuts. But it's like they just had to live through it. Because she was like, even my mama, who was horribly involved in her like church, First Baptist. Horribly involved because I feel like they took advantage of her. You know, because even when she was like kind
of
having declining health,
they take advantage
she was
of
having declining health, and they still looked to her to go find them a new preacher when they had fucked up and brought in this homo-hating preacher who alienated half of the young people. So all they had was a bunch of gray hairs up in
really?
There.
Oh, really? They brought
and
they in
yeah.
Hellfire
and so
and
then
guy?
Mama was head of the group to go find the new preacher, and they actually found a cool dude. I liked him. Whatever. We're never agree on a million
How
things.
How does one find a new preacher? Like
they go out like, because preachers are always looking for a bigger church where they can get paid more money.
I see.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about
like
that.
It's like a hierarchy. Like it's in like Southern Baptist. I mean, that's all I really know to base it on. But it's like when you first get out of seminary, you go to a small little church somewhere, and you'll be the preacher there, and you'll start, people like you, you learn your, like, how to, like, do things. And then once you do that, then you go up to, like a medium, small, and then you go up to, like, a medium, and then, like, people go up to, like, these huge churches. They just sort of
Southern
work
Baptists
up the ladder.
Go through an actual educational...
Yeah, they have to go to Southern Baptist Seminary.
It's not like the Snake Wavers who you just decide...
Nah, they go... There's Southern Baptist churches all over.
Oh, I see.
There was one right outside of where I grew up called Wingate.
I see.
Or Wingate. I don't know.
When was the last time you went to a Southern Baptist mass, ceremony?
Church.
Church.
I don't know. It was probably at Christmas a couple of years ago. Yeah. Because I don't go to church out here.
Right. And why'd you go? Did you go
because I go with my,
with
my mama. Uh-huh. There was not a question. Like
you just went.
Oh, yeah. It was like, if I did not go to church with my mama when I go back to visit, I could have not gone, but I would have heard about it the whole time. So it's easier to just go. And I didn't mind going,
it's
really.
Just to give up.
I didn't mind going because I grew up with a lot of people who still go there. So I would see people that I wouldn't ordinarily get to see if I went back home, so I could say hey to people that I haven't seen in a long time or whatever. So it's always random who I'd run into. So I didn't mind it. It's like, I would just kind of like listen and just go like, okay, whatever. I'm not buying all this. But the community of it, I like.
I'm looking at the top five country songs on Billboard right now. Take Your Time, Sam Hunt.
Sam Hunt. That's just a pop song. It's not even a country song. Move on to the next one.
Homegrown, Zach Brown Band.
That, actually, Zach Brown, I'm pretty cool. He's not bad. Actually, he has a lot of good songs.
This next one smells a little bro-tastic to
probably.
Me.
Probably.
Ain't Worth the Whiskey, Cole Swindell.
Just, yeah, that's bro as hell. That's bro as hell. Cole Swindell is bro as hell.
Lonely Eyes, Chris Young.
Lonely Eyes actually is...
Oh, Girl Crush. Holy shit. Girl Crush
Girl
is number
Crush
five.
Girl Crush is number five on the Billboard.
Where she talks about having
but
a crush.
You know what? I did hear that might have been a little bit of manufactured outrage.
They say the...
While I will admit, it is a really good song.
Is it?
Because I'm a huge fan of Lil Big Town who sings it. They're one of my favorites. Their four-part harmonies are fucking not to be beat.
Number six is a guy with a baseball cap on backwards.
Luke Bryan.
Lee Bryce?
Oh, yeah, bro.
Drinking Class.
That's bro as hell.
By Lee
That is so bro. That is bro as it gets.
Yeah, Drinking Class.
Yeah, Luke Bryan is the broiest. And I liked him when he first started, and he got all kind of bro, and it just started to kill me. And Florida Georgia Line, good Lord, if I have to hear one more of their songs, it sounds exactly the same. Every last one of them, I can't. I just can't.
I guess maybe we'll play... Maybe tomorrow we'll play... A little bit
do a
more
special Hollywood Hick edition of the like top five and do the country version
well,
instead
here's,
of the pop.
Here's okay. Wait a second here. This is Lee Bryce, "Drinking Class," the number six country song in America right now. This guy driving a truck. Back at home with an American flag in the backyard.
It's all about America.
Clock and whistle blow.
It's horrible. It's fucking horrible.
I'm going to fast forward and see if we can find
the thing is, there's so much good country music out there, it just breaks my heart. Like, there's this dude, like Aaron Watson, he's amazing, out of Texas, and he does hardly any radio airplay.
Cry we love.
This is awful. I just jumped forward a minute. It sounds like
it's horrible. Fucking horrible.
So there you go, country music. I was in a country band for a while. I liked country music. I still like
I've
seen Garth Brooks three goddamn times.
I've never seen Garth Brooks live.
He's awesome.
I know. I'd love to see it. And with his wife, who I love, Trisha Yearwood, is one of my all-time favorite voices in any kind of music.
Pre-Trisha Yearwood when I saw him.
Yeah, but because, you know, he had to, like...
Big liberal, by the way.
He's a huge liberal.
Big liberal. I don't know how he's managing these days. Although I guess
he's got more money. He has sold more albums than the Beatles. Dude is cool.
He doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
He sold more albums than anybody ever. I think because he released another one, which put him back over the top after some like Beatles compilation. Like he goes tit for tat with the Beatles. He does.
Whenever Ringo and Yoko decide to release something now, you're saying?
Whenever they release a new compilation, the Beatles, whatever, and it'll sell a couple of million copies, so that'll tick them over, and then Garth Brooks will release something.
This is Ain't Worth the Whiskey, Cole Swindell. Baseball cap. What's with country? I thought everybody's wearing baseball caps now.
Dude,
country.
Cowboy hats aren't bro. Baseball caps are bro, yo.
Oh, okay. Forgive me.
And you know what else kills me? They're rapping in my country music.
They're not.
Yes, there's this dude, Colt Ford. He's horrible. And they love him. Like, my nephews love him. They love him. He raps. It's horrible. What? Get the rap out of my country music. You can rap in my country music, I will say, but do it well. And he does not. It's horrible. But people love it for some reason. I have not been able to embrace it. I have not. And I am open to all kind of shit.
Where's my stuff?
Yes, I live in a single wide.
Oh my gosh, he's a thousand.
To get up here,
big old
takes
dude.
A four-wheel drive. Yeah. Trailer.
Fast forward in.
Oh, wear a suit for church and stuff. My dad is the one that made me tough.
I'd find an empty.
They're outside of it. And outside of the trailer. Posing down.
I think you picked the one song where he don't rap.
No trashing my trailer. God damn it. Okay. Here, Colt Ford country and rap.
People are switching to T-Mobile. They're jumping.
Was T-Mobile, did
more
you realize?
Good, because you know what? T-Mobile's trying to, like, fuck up the game a little bit, so even though I have...
Thank y'all. How y'all doing? I'm Michael Montgomery with me.
Just swimming holes. We was dirt road boy and came to switch rays. I done came a long way since back in the day. Been around the world twice, seen all 50 states. $8,000 China, but
this is awful. This sounds like some drunken redneck doing Tupac.
It makes my heart hurt. It makes my heart hurt so bad.
Awful.
Like, I'm going to have to go home and put on Patsy Cline and Dolly Parton and fucking Loretta Lynn.
To cleanse your musical
soul. You made me listen to that for 3 seconds.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. But the thing is, my fucking nephews love
that. Get the fuck out of here.
They also love Duck Dynasty. So, consider your fucking, who you're dealing with.
Is this guy, like, Jesus-y at all, or...
Oh, they all are. If you are a country person and don't claim to love Jesus, you might as well just decide you're never going to make any money.
Wasn't
you better lie through your teeth. Because
not
if you
too
come
long ago, there was a gay country
two
singer.
On the same day. Ty Herndon and little Billy Gillen.
Look at you. Oh, Billy Gill. That's right. That little kid.
On the same day, Ty came out and then
kid.
Billy was like, me too. Yeah.
And how are their careers doing?
Actually, they both didn't really have shit going on at the time.
Wow.
They were just relying off of catalog songs.
Oh, so they might have gotten a bump, actually, by coming out.
Yeah, I think that was Ty's thing. Ty's cute, too. I always used to listen to him back in the day because I always liked his music. He was good. And now if I knew that, I might have gone to Nashville instead of Los Angeles. Done me a little wrangling of country music singing sensation.
There's probably a good comedy scene in Nashville.
There is, actually.
There's probably a good niche comedy scene.
There is. I went to Nashville a couple of years ago for my vacation. I was like, I'm going to go listen to me some country music and sit in a honky-tonk and just do what the fuck I want to do for a change and not care. Like, I want to listen to country music and drink beer and
redneck
that's
out.
It. Yeah, and I got me a room at this fancy hotel. It's like the Union Station Hotel, it's called, I think. It's like this old, old, old Union Station that they turned into a fancy hotel. And I stayed in there. You could walk down to all the like honky-tonks down on Broadway. And I'd sit down there and get drunker than Cootie Brown and listen to these people sing all day. It was awesome. Went to the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And like went to a couple of homo bars in Nashville. They love drag in Nashville.
Seriously?
Everywhere I went, there was drag shows. Drag shows everywhere. And they
country
weren't bad.
Country drag like with, or?
No, it was like a typical. I was just curious what the homos did.
Because there's a big country, or there was. I mean, in Chicago, there was a country.
There's one out here, too.
That was the old line
Harry's.
Dancing.
Yeah, I can line dance like a motherfucker.
There's still. Doing line dancing and shit.
I got skills. I can line dance like you ain't never seen.
You know, achy breaky hearts what drove me out of country music.
Well, you cannot hold us accountable for that forever, okay?
Look at you. What's the statute of limitations on horrible,
it's over.
Shitty
whatever
music?
It is, it's over. You know what? There is horrible, shameful music in every
That's
genre.
That's true. It's very true.
There's like everything. Like the 80s has fucking 99 Luftballons. Like I can't, like if I ever have to hear that song one more time, I'm going to, like, what
the
happened
German
to that
version
what
or
happened
the
to
English
that
version?
Either. I don't give a fuck. I hear the rhythm of it and I want to kill things. Like that printer will like have died a happy death compared to whatever plays that song near me the next time. I hate it so much.
Nines and nines and Luftballons. Yeah, whatever the
fuck that was. Whatever. I hate it so much. It's, I don't know why I have a visceral reaction to that song. I hate it so much.
God, what else is going on here? There's a there was a story about a Catholic school. Did you see this? They fired a teacher. Guess why?
Because she's down with the homos, or she probably...
He is a homo.
Just because he's a homo.
Tyler McCubbin was substitute teaching and coaching track at Dowling Catholic High School in Des Moines, Iowa.
But he didn't do nothing wrong other than be a homo.
Right. He didn't diddle anybody or anything. He got his...
Because if you notice, in the schools, it is not the homos doing the diddling. There's a lot of ladies doing the diddlings in school.
And also, going back, once I graduated, was in high school and stuff, and then I go back over my Catholic school upbringing, first through eighth grade, a few of the teachers that were the lay teachers that were had outside fun bits, the dudes... you go back, and I remember there was Mr. Smith. That was really his name. It's not a pseudonym. But Mr. Smith he had this little, Pony Express thing going on with the kids. He also sold hair products, and he also cut hair on the side. And every day throughout the day, he would put together like bags of hair products to send off to some other teacher in the school that had ordered some conditioner or some kind of facial product or whatever. Mr. Smith, looking back, was really, really, really gay. Really, really, really
gay. Yeah, that's like my...
Nobody cared. This is, you know, the 70s.
Yeah. I remember
in Catholic schools.
I remember in school, we had the Spanish teacher. I took French because she was a pushover and I never went to class. I always told her I had student council.
You and Ryan could speak French to each other.
No, I couldn't. Oh. I never went to class because what had happened was she was an idiot. And I was on the student council. And so I could always like tell her that, I need to go take care of this for student council. Do you mind if I skip class? And every time she would say, okay. So me and my friend Leanne would go to Sonic and get some onion rings.
The American educational system.
But then what happened is that Leanne is the one who would get in trouble because she would skip Spanish, which was, I can't remember, whatever, I'm not going to tell his name. But anyway, I can't even remember it, so I couldn't if I wanted to. But the Spanish teacher in my high school was as gay as they come. Like, everybody knew it. Nobody fucking cared. I mean, they would make jokes about it, but...
Sure.
And people were also scared to make too heavy of a joke because he would kick their fucking ass. Like, he was known to be strict as fuck, too. Like, he was known to be really funny and fun, but if you crossed him and got on his bad side, you were fucked.
Yeah, one of these
guys... So people
were
scared to death of him because they didn't want to be on his list so that everybody was cool with him.
One of these guys...
And he was actually kind of funny and cool, so there was no reason to not like him.
I told the story before. This guy used to beat kids with a bat, with a wiffle bat. He had this nasty little miniature wiffle bat. And I mean, like, welts.
Back when you could.
Welts. Yeah. And there was one time in specific, I've told the story before, where he a kid got, like, had to go home. Like, was hurt badly enough.
Because the homo beat him?
Because this teacher popped him, yeah. With this fucking bat hard enough and like broke blood vessels.
Dude, when I was in middle school, our gym teacher, it's where dudes got sent to get paddled. And do you know what his paddle was?
Creepy.
Do you want me to tell you what his paddle was? It was a baseball bat that he had planed off of two sides.
Come on.
And he would grab you by like the whole like forearm grasp, you know what I'm talking? Where like you have to grab each other's forearm.
Oh,
he would hold on to you like that.
Like the Roman greeting.
And he would whack your ass so hard it would lift you off the ground.
And meanwhile,
and he would hold on to you and then pull you back down and then do it again. And you would just go in circles as he beat your ass.
And he's adjusting and the was boner in his and pants that was at the same time. You know that creepy fuck.
I never had it happen to me, but I saw it. And I know tons of people who, because I lived in fear of it. I was like, oh no. Because that happened in like, because my first, like, they were paddle happy when I went to school. My sixth grade teacher, Miss Browning, I will out her because she was an awful, horrible, hateful woman. I did not like her.
Wow,
and she
sixth
did not
grade
like
was
me.
Her Sister Mary cunt face for me too.
Was I didn't,
that was
I didn't
year,
like,
yeah.
We did not get along. She ruined, like she made me not like school for a couple of years because she was so awful. She just didn't get pantsuits, pantsuits, everything. She just didn't give a fuck.
See, I
was
person.
An awful, and I was a fucking awful kid. I remember one time I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to throw up. So I went to go tell her, I was like, I got to go to the bathroom to throw up. And in the course of that, I was like, oh, I feel it's coming. And instead of aiming for the trash can, I aimed for the top of her desk just because
awesome.
She couldn't blame
that's
me.
That's great though.
Because I was a kid and I threw up
that's
and it just
genius.
Couldn't hold
that's
it.
That's not awful.
But I thought it, I had a, I remember having a conscious thought where, oh no, I'm going to do this on her desk because she's a fucking bitch. And like she paddled our whole class.
What?
Not once. But twice. The first time.
What?
Yeah. The first time because so ridiculous. The first time was because it was one of those times she was like, I gotta go see teacher so and so and you do this work and when I come back here it better be quiet or there's gonna be hell to pay, sort of thing, right? And so she leaves. What do you think happened? Sixth grade. You're like what? 6, 7, 8, 9, 11?
Yeah, you leave 30 11-year-olds alone.
We were going nuts and laughing and whatever. And I was clowning. It was me. Uh-oh. Of course. The guys go. So she paddled our whole class when she got back.
Good God.
And guess who was first?
Oh, you.
Yours truly. That's what happened. I didn't go. She was an old fat thing. She couldn't, like, she didn't really do any damage. She could not get enough momentum. And by the time she finished paddling 20 some odd kids, she was dripping in sweat, wore the fuck out.
How
I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was hysterical.
If she would have had a heart attack.
And she
at
did
that
it
moment,
the second time.
How karma would that
it's
be?
It's horrible. The second time she did it was because we all laughed at her when all four legs of her chair gave out on her at the same time and she fell down to the ground. Because she was overweight, we were 11, and her chair gave out. What do you think 11-year-olds are going to do?
Laugh your fucking asses off.
I fell out of my fucking chair.
Right.
Who was first again? Because he was rolling on the ground.
Yeah.
Just like that. I could never win.
Yeah, some
she
of them
hated
don't
me.
Have senses of humor.
She hated me.
Meanwhile, a big pox. Before we end up here, we're about done here, man.
No way,
it's
dude.
It's about that time. But before we go, I just want to really, I don't believe in the supernatural or anything, but if I could, I would put a big curse on whoever started a GoFundMe. And then they got rejected, so they went over to Indie fucking GoGo.
Who said okay.
Who was like, okay, we don't discriminate. And now there's a webpage for that you can support, you can donate money to the defense fund for the cop that shot the man in the back as he was walking away, as he was running away. I just can't wrap my brain around the heinousness involved in anyone who could watch that fucking video
and think
exactly and think I have to defend that man who shot the black man in the back as he was
20
yards away.
8 times.
So there's a Facebook fucking page for these assholes where, fortunately, every single goddamn comment they're
getting.
It's
like, you're awful, evil, hateful heathens going to hell and you're going to burn forever.
Right. And even every comment on the goddamn Indiegogo page where... I'm not going to go to it, but last I checked, they had like $150. Nobody's given money.
Yeah.
But a big fuck you to whoever gave
that
$150.
The thing I read said $200,
oh,
so maybe gone up
to that.
$50.
Yeah, it's just the heinousness involved. And they're like, well, we're just trying to, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And he's already been tried and convicted
no.
in the public
Because you know what? Because that's true in a lot of cases, and actually almost all of them.
We have a video.
I saw the key piece of evidence already. So guess what? If I'm on that jury, you're not going to have to show me any fucking thing else.
We're all witnesses.
And there was also, now I just found out by being on this program today, that there was like coercion amongst the cops to try to get the dude who took the video to fucking like.
Well, once they found out what they did alludes
me to believe that they were going to try to suppress this dude in one way or another. If he had not took the fuck off.
Actually, on Crab Diving Facebook, as we end the show here, ladies and gentlemen, let me start the music. Facebook.com/crabdiving. There's also some cell phone video of some teenage kids that were, I think it's Florida cops. And, okay, the kids were a little asshole-ish, a little bit. But what ends up happening, a kid in the backseat gets pepper sprayed and then tased 4 or 5 fucking times. And they pull him out of the car. It's just heinous. There's no reason for it. Fuck these people.
Calm the fuck down.
The good cops that are out there, we know you're out there. You gotta speak the fuck up, motherfuckers.
Put up your normal ray sign, bitches.
Put up the normal ray signs. Listen, on the sevens, ladies and gentlemen, the Hollywood Hick, thank you again. Brent Paris, the very funny.
Thanks for having me.
Brent Paris. Follow him on the Twitter at the H Wood Hick. And also on his Facebook page. Spread some love. Counteract the motherfuckers that were on there spreading some hate. And listen to the great podcast at crabdiving.com. And also on Instagram. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for sitting.
Thanks so much for having me. Really, it's a ton of fun.
Everything Crab Diving is at crabdiving.com. Don't forget to follow the very funny Mr. Ryan Pfeiffer at Rated R Comedy. I'm at Vile Experience on the Twitter. And everything and everything, anything you need is at crabdiving.com. Go over to the left. Find some blue buttons. That's all of our social media. Tickle them, touch them, click them. Go there, share the spread, share the crab, love the crab, spread the crab. Back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Pfeiffer back in the seat. 2 p.m. again. 2-4 p.m. Bye bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Crab. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving and on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.